In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At the beginning of January, there is the beginning of the civil new year. The new year of the country. The new year of the world. In the beginning of September, on the first day of September, is the beginning of the church year. The ecclesiastical year. But we are at the beginning of our spiritual year, this year, our beginning this year. And we begin by orienting ourselves toward Christ, his crucifixion and resurrection, his conquest of death, and the new life. We orient ourselves toward his resurrection and our participation in his resurrection. We orient ourselves spiritually and begin moving toward that center, to carry that center within us for the rest of the year. We've spent a couple of Sundays considering this, thinking about it. Forgiveness Sunday, we will do something about it. Because we can only do something about beginning our movement along this active spiritual path in one way, and that is by forgiving anyone who has, whether carelessly or intentionally, offended against us. We can't allow ourselves to be caught in a condition of a lack of forgiveness of others. It separates us from them, from others, and from God. If we are going to begin to move toward resurrection, toward the living of the new life that has been given us, we have to begin in this way, by forgiving those who have trespassed against us. And in preparation for that, if we are ready to hear it, we have a parable that teaches us compassion. When we see a movie or a picture of even a small group of people, we pick out ourselves in the photograph or in the movie, the person that we can most easily identify with. Parables mean many things at once. The parable of the prodigal son teaches compassion. The father forgives the son, but first the son forgives the father. If he had not, then he would not have returned. He would have continued on his own, however difficult. Our home as children was our first world, when we were most vulnerable. Before we were even aware of ourselves, someone parented us. Someone was father and mother to us. When we were small children, however those people were inside, we depended upon them. All the food and comfort and attention we had, however much or however little, came from those who once fathered and mothered us from birth until the age of judgment, when we begin to judge. And we begin to judge by judging our parents. Gradually, we felt the need of more than anyone but God himself could give us. And so, since we had never depended on anyone else, we begin to see the inadequacy of those that have cared for us, and eventually the inadequacy of all others. And we call it the age of judgment because discernment only comes with maturity. We begin to judge and demand and hold our attention hostage. We deny ourselves to them, to use approval and disapproval, just as those who had power over us absolutely as young children had done, to confront others pleasantly or unpleasantly, hoping to have things go as we would like to have them go, just as our parents once did when we were small. We have not yet learned how to love as adults. We can only copy what we have experienced as children. Often our parents seemed unfair to us, and so once we are on our own, we feel it right to stand up to others and take our own side. Out of a growing self-love, we separated ourselves, leaving home inside ourselves. We left home long before we set out the door. And now that we are in the world, we often seem to treat others as parental threats to what we want to do. We stand as independently before others as we dare. We learn to bargain by promises, entertainment, favors, compliments, and by threatening to hold back any of these from others and punish them. We foreshadow all of this by an ongoing attitude we carry, a false public self. We do all of these things to others that we felt were unfairly done to us when we were small. We can't begin to really grow up, though, until we begin to forgive our parents for having been less than the parents we would like them to have been, so that they could have fully satisfied all of the things that we desired, which they did not. And therefore, they are guilty of not having satisfied our desires. We cast this attitude out toward the world in general as a resentment. And it is only when we begin to stop trying to parent and control others that the spirit of the Father of the world to come is first born in us. And then we begin to try and learn how to love. Each of us has to learn this for ourselves. We are not born knowing how to do it. It doesn't come upon us when we reach a certain age. But it is the most joyful of tasks. It is the real task, the real spiritual work of our life. And thankfully, it takes a lifetime. We never outgrow this task of learning how to love others, and love God. But so long as we believe we are better than we are, and so long as we believe that we are still as central to the world as only small children ever really are, we really can't forgive or really love anyone. The spirit of our holy and heavenly Father was first born in the prodigal, in a place where he did not belong, where he had gone to be on his own, to have things in his own way. There are layers of meaning here in this great parable, and one of them is this. Jesus Christ is the only one of us who is fully human and is also fully divine. When we celebrated his birth, we called him Father of the world to come. He is the spiritual father of our maturity. He is the only human maturity there is. He is the only human maturity that there is. The ways in which we try to be brother and sister and aunt and uncle, father and mother to others all fall short. It was the same for our own many merely human fathers and mothers. And it is for us to forgive them. We are meant to be more than we can be without our part in the divinity that we were born for. This is the meaning of our lives. We must learn to receive all others as the Father in the parable receives the Son. We must accept others for themselves and not for ourselves. To use them, to treat them as minor players in the story of my life. We must learn to love and accept them for themselves and not for what they can do and be for us, whether they succeed or fail in fulfilling the desire that we had as children to have everything be done for us, to fulfill all of our desires instead of opposing those desires and ascending into the full stature of Christ, our brother, our father, our God. And finally, as a good man once said, be kind to everyone you meet. Everyone you meet is fighting a battle that you know nothing about. We know nothing about the hidden battles and struggles of others. And yet we judge them. We judge them as we began by judging our own parents. And now we judge all others as being inadequate, less than I myself. Because only I fully serve myself. Only I love myself as I want to be loved. And others do not love me and cannot love me as I love myself. That is the love that is meant to die. We have to die to ourselves. That kind of love has to end before we can love others, before we can forgive others, before we can grow into maturity as human beings, before we can even begin to grow toward the fullness of the stature of the Son of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.